You're listening to the Clear Creek Resources Podcast from Clear Creek Community Church, located in the Bay Area of Houston.
Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to the Clear Creek Resources Podcast. I'm Ryan Leighton.
And I'm Rachel Chester.
Thanks for joining us today. Our hope is that this podcast helps us to better connect with the people of Clear Creek and continue the conversation beyond our weekly worship services. So, Rachel, are you a big sports fan?
I'm a big sports fan, although my husband gets frustrated with me because now that I have kids, I'm less of a sports fan, but I still love it a lot.
Well, all right, so what are your favorite sports to watch?
College football is for sure my favorite
Hook'em
sport
horns.
To watch because they're awesome. And I have to say golf because I'm forced to watch it all the time.
Okay.
But I really like all sports.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I think you had a conversation recently with a couple of people who are big sports fans and some former athletes. Tell me about that conversation before we jump in.
I did. It was a great conversation. We just talked about, you know, what does it mean to be an athlete and a fan as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus? You know, how can we be competitive and love sports and see that as a gift, but also put that in the right place, have that rightly ordered in our lives? And they had a lot of wisdom, and it was a great conversation.
All right. So before we jump in, who did you talk to?
I talked to John Cheshek, who was a baseball player. He was in the Hall of Fame at A&M. And John Coffey, who actually was a sports journalist and brought so much wisdom and conversations with lots of people about lots of different types of sports. So it was really interesting conversation.
Awesome. Let's get to it.
Welcome, you guys. Thank you so much for coming today to talk about sports and Christianity. I'm really excited about this conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's a fun conversation, right?
It is, for sure. It's a fun topic to discuss.
It is. So let's start with just, you guys tell me, what is your favorite sports memory? Whether it's something that you participated in, it could definitely be like your Little League playoff game, or it could be something that you saw, that you witnessed as a fan. What's your favorite sports memory?
Yeah, so for me, it was an active participant on a team. So I played baseball at Texas A&M, and we actually were playing in the Super Regional against Clemson, and it was for a berth in the College World Series, which, for those of you that don't know, in college baseball, Division I baseball, there's a College World Series that's been in Omaha, Nebraska forever, and it's really a great honor to participate in that. And so this was the game before the College World Series. And we were down in the ninth inning, and two of my teammates actually hit home runs. One person hit the first home run, and then the second person hit another home run off a guy who had not given up a home run all year long. Wow. And that propelled us to win that game and ultimately go to the College World Series, which is the top eight teams in Division I baseball. So that moment was awesome. It was my senior year, and it culminated with a group of people that I'd spent a ton of time with, and we had really worked hard together for four straight year, you know, for four straight seasons, and that was the culmination of that. So it was very relational because I was with people that I liked a lot, and it was also just the thrill of victory. So that was my favorite sports moment that I've had.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah, I think for me, it's so hard because there's so many good ones out there, but when I was at Michigan State, I think 2009, they were playing Notre Dame, and they had no business beating Notre Dame. And it was a close game, came down to the wire. Michigan State was going to kick a field goal to try to tie it to send it in overtime. And it's the famous Little Giants play that Mark D'Antonio called it. But basically, it was a fake field goal. They threw it to the tight end, who was just wide open, and he scored a touchdown, and they won the game. And so it was... It was crazy. I mean, I was in the student section, and it was a good time.
That is such a good time.
Yeah, Mark D'Antonio had a heart attack after that game, so
it was crazy.
it was crazy.
Too good.
Yeah. But it was fun.
I was gonna say, I think one of my favorites was I was at UT whenever we were good, right? So I was like right there when we were going to national championships. So when Vince Young won was really cool, but I actually think my favorite sports memory was we went to the Masters in 2014, and that was
That's
just
awesome.
Such a different type mm-hmm. of sports experience, because mm-hmm. golf is just different, mm-hmm. right, than like football or baseball, basketball.
Yeah.
But just so fun, and to watch these guys who are just like, you know, incredible, mm-hmm. and actually see how hard these courses are when you're standing there was just really, really cool. And Bubba Watson won, which was really fun to watch. But my favorite golfer was Fred Couples, which is sort of random, but I love him. And he was there.
He went to U of H.
Did he really? I didn't even know that.
I think so.
That's so fun.
Could be
See?
Wrong. But...
That's why I love him. Mm-hmm. And we just followed him for a few holes, and it was just awesome. Because they're just so good at what they do. And it's fun to just witness that.
Yeah, and I heard that that whole Masters experience is, a lot of people say it's heaven on earth, right? It's just, it's such
amazing.
It's picturesque, and the course is beautiful, and it has this aura about it. I've never been, but that's what I've heard. So.
It is, it's really, really beautiful, and that is definitely part of it, is that you think, oh, it's not going to look like that. And then you get there, and you're like, wow, it looks like this. This is just beautiful to be there. Different sports experience. But so tell me, before we talk about, you know, there's hard things about sports, you know, like anything else, there's also really great things. So you guys both love sports. Tell me, like, what do you think is the greatest gift that sports brings to people of the church? That's a big question.
Yeah, that is a big question. Yeah. You can go a lot of different ways with that because there's so many great things about sports.
Sure.
Because, I mean, there's definitely all the sermon analogies that you can pull.
That's a big deal.
All the great, you know, Rocky movies and, you know, Rudy and all that stuff. But I think probably the greatest thing that it offers to us as people in the church is just the community aspect, the camaraderie that happens around sports. It's a very like unifying thing, I think, for a lot of people, and it breaks down a lot of walls. So, you know, I've had conversations and friendships with people that I probably wouldn't have, you know, had maybe as deep of conversation or whatever it was, and it all started around sports because we had a mutual, you know, interest in that. And so we were able to get talking and get rolling, and then one thing leads to another, and all of a sudden you're talking about real life stuff that is, you know, has nothing to do with sports, but that's where it starts.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, John. And for me, it's sort of separated between fandom and between, you know, being a teammate. And I think both of them kind of have some of those attributes that you talked about. You know, when you're with your teammates, you're really playing for one another, you're serving one another, you're acting out your faith in a lot of ways because they're depending on you, and it's your responsibility to do your job. And then from a fandom perspective, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It brings people of all different backgrounds together for the one common goal of rooting for your team, and it becomes a cultural phenomenon for sure too. So people really rally their lives around it, and they make their social life about it. So I think all of those things are very beneficial with your walk as a Christian because of what you just said. I think it opens up doors and allows you to speak to someone maybe that you wouldn't traditionally have the opportunity to speak to, and you can rally around that common bond and explore faith through that.
So let me sort of ask you guys about a few things you mentioned. Because you're talking about being unifying, which is, I think, so true. And such an important aspect of it. But what about the fact that sports are inherently competitive? So how do you sort of hold together those two things? That sports are a way for us to come together with people who are different and build relationships, but we're also competing against each other, which evokes a lot of emotion and intensity and sometimes division. So how do you guys see those two things working together in sports?
Yeah, there's no doubt that it's a contrast in many ways. I mean, you even see that in some stadiums, people end up fighting with each other, literally fighting with each other for wearing different colors of a uniform, or they're yelling at each other, or they're not being a good example because their team's losing. So that part of it is tough. I do think that there is a balance between competitiveness and unity. I think you always have to strive to be the best version of yourself. And again, I'm speaking more as a player now.
Mm-hmm.
But as a player, you want to be the best version of yourself, and you want to compete really hard, but you want to do that in a spirit of unity. In other words, I'm going to do my best all the time to try to win and be competitive, but I'm not going to cross that line, and that line's different for every person. I mean, clearly I'm not going to go harm somebody to try to win, or physically harm them, or even mentally or emotionally harm them. I'm not going to do that. but I am going to compete to the best of my ability to try to be the best version of myself.
Yeah, I think all that's right on. I think with competitiveness, it's really comes down to like your posture of competitiveness, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. You know, it's about your motivation of why. Like, are you trying to win because, you know, you have something to prove, you got a chip on your shoulder, you want people to think about you a certain way, or, you know, you're trying to like really stick it to that other guy or that other team or whatever it is. Like, those things I think kind of cross into that maybe unhealthy side of competitiveness. But then there's also the good side that you alluded to there, that's like, you know, I'm trying to do this with excellence. I'm trying to challenge myself. I think it's good to do hard things, to require people to do hard things, just because it helps you grow as a person in all areas of your life. I think, I mean, you would know that better than most probably, that just the time and the dedication it takes to be good at a sport, you know, the hours it takes, the preparation, all that stuff. I mean, I think all of that is good stuff that carries over into other parts of your life that helps you, you know, it can help you in your spiritual life or in your job or in your relationships or whatever it is. So I think there's a lot of good that comes out of competitiveness. Mm-hmm. I think it's just we have to handle it the right way and be doing it for the right reasons. So
yeah, and just to further that point, I think it does spill over to your personal life in many ways. So if you start out in sports as a child, for example, and you really learn what work ethic's all about, you learn what being a teammate's all about, you learn what discipline's all about. I mean, those are characteristics that absolutely translate to your personal life as an adult. And I can tell you from my life, I grew up playing multiple sports, and I carry a lot of those characteristics and lessons learned through sport into my personal life today. You mentioned about, you know, just deepening your faith. Well, maybe it's the discipline of getting into the Word of God every day, or maybe it's the discipline of deepening your prayer life and really competing with yourself, so to speak, to try to make yourself better and to grow closer to God. Now, we're not trying to compete against anybody in that space, but what you are trying to do every day is just increase your discipline to glorify God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're mentioning discipline. Both of you guys are, and I think that's a really direct application that you guys are talking about: discipline in sports, and then discipline in your faith. Because what we do want to get better in our faith. We want to move forward. We want to go closer to God, and that does take discipline.
Mm-hmm. For sure, it does. And I mean, the sports analogy there is spot on. I mean, sports, to be successful in sports is about discipline and doing things that maybe you don't feel like doing that day, and having the ability to consistently execute on that day after day after day. That's ultimately how you become better, because, you know, there's very few people out there that are blessed with professional level athletic ability. Very few people. And those are the...
Don't tell the parents listening that. Okay. They're already upset with you.
Absolutely true. Well, it's the truth. It's the truth.
That 1%.
That's right. Yeah. Well, it's probably 1% yes. of 1%.
Right, yeah.
You know? So there's very few people that have that level of athleticism. But that doesn't mean that a child should just throw in the towel, mm-hmm. because there's certainly lessons to be learned by going through a life of sports, again, that translate directly to your spiritual walk. Because I assume, Rachel, that every day you don't wake up and just have this insatiable appetite to get into the Word of God. Maybe you do. But there are days, for me at least, where that's not there. And I have to find a way to make that happen in order to be disciplined to grow my faith.
Yeah, training and practice and getting better, I think all that stuff kind of revolves around pushing through discomfort and inconvenience. Mm-hmm. And I think having that ability in the rest of your life mm-hmm. is very important. And it comes in handy because, especially in the world we live in today, there's a lot of people who don't want to push through discomfort and inconvenience to really do anything. But in sports, that's celebrated. And so you learn that skill early on, I think, when you get in sports mm-hmm. at a young age. I know I did. And it is something that helps, because, you know, even dealing with adversity, all that kind of stuff, I think you learn some of those lessons on the field or on the court or whatever it is. And then when you're at home and you're like, I don't want to read my Bible today, or I don't want to go to church today, or whatever, you know, and it's like you remember, like, oh yeah, but like if I do want to get better, sometimes there's these things that I just got to push through. It's and worth I know it's going to be, I know it's going to get better, you know, so.
For sure.
Yeah.
So tell me talk to me a little bit about what it looks like when it doesn't work out. You know, so what do sports teach you about working hard and then failing, or working hard and then having to be defeated? And what does that look like? And what can that teach you in sports? Because I think that can translate to your spiritual mm-hmm. life as well.
Yeah, I think that's a hard one because nobody likes to lose, yeah. right? So I hate to lose. In you know, if it's checkers, if I'm playing checkers with my wife, I hate to lose. But it happens sometimes, you know? And so
sometimes,
I think,
just sometimes.
Yeah, just once in a while, you know, it's not very often. Sorry, honey. But yeah, I think, you know, losing or defeat or things not going the way that you expected them to go is part of life. And so again, on the, you know, in the sports realm, that's going to happen. And, you know, if you're like me and you're a Detroit Lions fan, it feels like it happens a lot. So, but I think you learn to deal with it where it's not something that crushes you, you know? So, there's always a lesson to be learned, I think, in defeat. You know, if you're, especially from the athlete side of like, well, I could have done this differently and that probably would have changed the result. Or sometimes it's like, I did everything exactly the way I wanted to do it. And I just got beat, you know? And I think so those ones are actually easier to deal with, I think.
Whenever you know you did the best you could do.
Yeah, when I left it all out there and I did my absolute best and the other guy was just better that day.
So why is that okay for you? I mean, how do you get to that place? Because I think that can be hard for people to get mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. to be okay in defeat and to not lose themselves whenever it doesn't work out. Especially, like you're saying, it's easier for you whenever you actually did do your best, but for some people that's even worse. So how does that work for you? How did you get there?
I think it comes down a lot to identity. And that was something, you know, my dad and my mom really talked to me a lot about as a kid was like, you know, I was a pretty good athlete in high school. I ran track, I played soccer, I played basketball. And so, you know, I did all this different stuff and they talked to me a lot about just like, you know, this is one thing that you do. This is not who you are. Mm-hmm. So there's a separation there. And so, you know, go be the best you can be. Put in the hours, put in the work, do that as well as you can. But at the end of the day, if you don't win or you don't get the scholarship or you don't, you know, whatever else, it's okay. You're still John. You still have a life to live in front of you. You still have people who care about you and love you and that you know, reciprocate that for them. And I think that distinction helped me a lot. Just being able to say like, this is one area of my life, but it's not everything. And so if I have success, it's not everything. And if I have defeat, it's not everything, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's always been helpful for me.
Well, it sounds like your parents were really influential with that.
Definitely.
which is a great lesson for all of us. You know, you have a brand new baby mm-hmm. and that's going to be, it's not always easy to give that to your kids because sports are so fun and you want mm-hmm. your kids to be good. Mm-hmm. And so to really, really teach them that this is not where your identity is, but also work hard and be the best you can be can feel like a balancing act. Have you experienced that with your kids?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as a parent, and again, my resume is, you know, I played sports as a child, football and basketball and baseball, and played football and baseball all the way through high school, and then ended up playing baseball at Texas A&M, and then I was drafted by the San Diego Padres, and I played 3 years at the professional level. So I had a long resume of sports and being successful at it, both individually and collectively as a team. So for me, when I had children and they started playing sports, I always thought that I wasn't going to be that person that was caught up in the identity of how my child performed and, you know, how that, I guess, was translated to relationships with adults. But the reality is it's tough because the culture is so sports crazy that you see parents spending crazy amounts of money on developing their children, on you know, really getting them on the quote unquote right team. And as you get older, that becomes part of the fabric of sports at an amateur level, which to me is crazy.
John.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I mean, it is so much money and time.
It's crazy.
So tell everybody what to do.
I have no idea. So, I've got a few years on you guys. So in my day, it wasn't like that. You know, it was basically you played high school sports and you might have had some kind of summer league that kept you training during that off season, but it wasn't like it is today. And I will tell you, I struggle with it. Mm-hmm. And the reason I gave you my resume before is I shouldn't struggle with it, right? Now, I never made it to the major league level and I was never a celebrity in sports or anything like that, but I got pretty far, right? And so for me, my identity definitely shouldn't be with my children because I have nothing to prove for mm-hmm. my own sports career, right? But even that I struggle with because the keeping up with the Joneses deal is real. Now, we have deferred that and we have not done it to the level of many people. And I'm not criticizing them. That's just been our personal choice as a family. But I'll tell you, it's hard. The peer pressure's there because the reality is people are spending crazy amounts of money and time and their kids get better. They do. Because they have, you know, these excellent coaches and they have, you know, the reps and they have all of these things that make them better players. So there is that tension of that. I don't have it figured out, Rachel, for sure. I just know it's there and it stinks because it should be about fun and it should be about learning those life lessons. But now amateur sport just is such a business that it makes it kind of hard to enjoy it the way maybe generations prior did.
Well, let me ask you, you know, we're talking about how, you know, sports can really turn into identity issues. You guys mm-hmm. are both talking about that. And I'm hearing you say that you can see that with money and with time. Mm-hmm. So how do we make choices? Really, I think this applies to whether you're talking about your kids, which is a huge mm-hmm. deal that we're starting to deal with young kids, but also as fans, you know, I mean, it costs a lot of money to be a fan sometimes and can cost a lot of time. So how can we think about our time and our money and what that means about our identity and our first love?
Sure. You know, money and time are indicative of where your heart lies, right? So how you spend your money and where you spend your time is directly correlated to what's really important to you in life. And that's no secret. So for me as a parent, from a fandom perspective, I have not chosen to go out and spend tons of money or time chasing professional sports or even college sports or whatever. Now, what I will do is occasionally interject that into the fabric of our family. And I do that because I want to create environments, fun, memories, all those things that sports are good for. Mm-hmm. I think that's really positive. But for me, I'm not going to go out and spend 50% of my pay on a professional sports team. Now, there are a lot of people that spend a lot of money on sports, and that's up to them to decide why they're doing that. But for me, I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to interject it where I need to, and I'm not going to sit on the couch for 8 straight hours watching sports because ultimately the outcomes of those games aren't impacting my life. So it is a balance, Rachel, that you talked about. And for me, it's a balance of how am I going to interject sports, which I like, and how am I going to incorporate that to the fabric of my family to create memories for my children and myself and my wife. So
yeah, I think it all, like you were saying, it all comes down to priorities. So I think, you know, where it becomes a problem is when that's priority one on your list. And so it goes above, you know, some of your family stuff. It goes above your spiritual life, your walk with Christ. It goes above your friendships and your relationships, maybe above your job, all that stuff. That's a problem, you know. When you're watching more sports than you are spending time with your kids, that's a problem. When you're thinking more about sports and your fantasy football team or whatever it is, than you are about, your wife, taking care of her, or your responsibilities as a husband, father, son, brother, friend, whatever it is, or, you know, your role in the church or whatever, like, you know, I mean, if all that other stuff is taking over, or I guess I should say, if all that other stuff is taking a back seat to your love for sports, then I think that's a big issue. So I say that, but then I also say that it's okay for sports to be on the list. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have all those priorities, but it is fun and it's really enjoyable. And so I think, you know, if you want to spend money to go see a game or you know, you want to plan a trip with your buddies, man, do it. If you have the means and the time and your wife lets you go, do it. But
or your husband.
Yeah, or your husband. But just do it responsibly, you know. Understand that this is one thing, but it's not the thing, you know. And so, yeah, I think it's okay to enjoy it. It's just, it's not okay to let it rule you.
It's not the ultimate. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really great point, because I think that what it can turn into is people being so, right, there is a continuum and people can sort of get lost on both ends. And you can think, oh, this, you know, this, I care about Jesus and I love my family, and so my kids can't ever do these things. And it doesn't have to be like that, because sports are great. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you guys a question that I think people can get a little bit stuck on, that can be hard for them, which is, what about when it comes to Sundays or Wednesday group? You know, how do we make those choices with church and with small groups and with sports that are, you know, more often on Sundays now?
Yeah, and I'll piggyback off what you said there, John. I mean, it's about your priorities and, you know, are you balancing those things out? So for me, my responsibility is to love my wife and to be a disciple maker of my children and to lead them in a way that would be God-honoring. And so that's first and foremost for me. So if I'm doing that and taking that responsibility on a daily basis, then to me, if they play a game on Sunday, it's not an issue. Mm-hmm. So I just don't want to get so out of whack where I'm doing nothing but sports all the time, and then Sunday's just one more day that's consuming that time. So it's about personal accountability to me, and again, about disciple making and about loving my family well and leading them the way that God calls me to lead through scriptures. And if I'm doing that and taking that responsibility and accountability, then I have no issue with missing church or missing small group or something like that. Now, I will say this. I personally do not think that should be done every week. That's my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. So I believe that there should be balance and tension between having fun in sports, learning all the lessons that sports gives us, but doing that through a prioritization of spiritual things. So, you know, for example, I will always tell my daughter, look, Wednesday night group is going to take priority. So you need to do that first. If something comes up every once in a while and you've got to do it, go for it. But I would hope that I'm not going to intentionally schedule something every single Wednesday night in sports that's going to supersede that. And the same thing on Sunday. Again, if we miss a Sunday because of a tournament or because there's an event that we're going to attend, I don't see an issue with that. But I'm not going to do that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I feel like there's a priority.
Then it's your priority.
Correct. Yeah. And as a leader of the family, I think I have to protect that.
Yeah, I think helping your, you know, I have one daughter who's 2 months old, so I don't have a lot of experience in this area, but I've witnessed a lot of other people deal with this.
And you went through it.
And I went through it as a kid. And and so I think, you know, when your parents say, this is important, church is important, you should be there, you know? And they clear the schedule. It's like, as a kid, I think sometimes it's easy to fall into that, like, man, like my friend's playing this league on Sundays and like that'd be fun and whatever. But as a kid who went through that, like, I think I gained a very a big respect for the value of church and being in church, because my parents made a rule that we're not going to play sports on Sundays. We're not going to be in leagues. Baseball leagues or whatever it was on Sundays. And so, and when I grew up, I didn't have like the Wednesday night thing going on. Mm-hmm. So it's really just Sunday for me. But yeah, I mean, that was a big deal in our house. And so I think it helped instill in me, this is an important thing that I need to be a part of. Like, you know, there's a lot of people who don't see the value of being in church on Sundays. And I mean, we're going through this whole big quarantine thing and we haven't gotten to be in church on Sundays the same way that we're used to. And I think you start to realize, like, man, I need that, you know, mm-hmm. I need that community. I need to see people and to have the accountability and all that stuff. And so I think just from an early age, that was just kind of just pressed into me. And now, I mean, you know, I'm 30 years old and I feel very strongly about that still. And I think that is a rule that I will probably have in my house, is just that I want my kids to see the importance of this is a thing we do, that we sacrifice other things so that we can do this and make it happen because it's that important.
Yeah, I mean that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rachel.
No, I just think that this is this is really great because you guys both are really saying the same thing, but you're coming to different sort of decisions for your families, mm-hmm. which I think is a great example because it speaks to discernment and wisdom and discipline all together. So I just want to ask both of you, as you make those decisions for your families and for yourself, how do you find that discernment and wisdom? Like, are you a part of a community that helps you do that? Is it just a part of your spiritual faith that can get you to where you feel comfortable that you're making the right choices?
Yeah, I think it's all the above. I mean, I am part of a community, both in small group at Clear Creek and, of course, the larger body. And then I was reared much like you were, John. I mean, church was a big part of our life, so I had that example set for me early on. And I think it's a combination of those things that leads me to where I am today. I will say this about sports in 2020 compared to, let's call it, 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 or 50 or whatever. You know, back then it was all about the rec leagues, right? It was essentially mm-hmm. just local kids playing. And now through the business of sports, it is hard to participate if you're not going to play on Sunday. That is a fact. So you do, as parents, have to make that choice. And again, it's not right or wrong. Every house has their own guidelines that they go by. So that is a challenge for sure. But I do think I gained discernment just from my life experience and my priorities and my faith and through the community. So all the above.
Yeah, I would also this is a great time to plug Church on Wednesday as well,
yeah.
because we have that option, which is really cool. Like I said, we didn't have that when I was growing up. And my wife and I actually attend Church on Wednesday right now, which is cool. Leaves your Sunday morning open, which is great. So shout out to Lance. But yeah. But I think that
you're going to have so many people now who really love their Sunday mornings.
Yeah,
they're all going to show up on Wednesday.
Yeah, really pushing those numbers. But no, but I think, you know, like what you said, you know, you come to that decision as a family, but also with your, you know, people who just have experience and are smarter than you, who have done this, they can speak into a lot of those issues in your life. So I think, you know, you ask people around you who have gone through it and are dealing with it. And like you said, the landscape of sports has kind of changed over the years and stuff. And so if you're going to be a part of it, there are some things that I think, you know, you have to make that call. Like, are we going to do this? Are we not going to do this? And, but yeah, I think it's one of those things that there's not really a, like, this is the right answer. It's just, you know, you just have to be wise about it. And I know for me, personally, when I'm away from church, or I'm going through a season of life where I'm not on top of, you know, reading my Bible as much as I should be, or, you know, praying regularly or whatever it is, like I feel that, mm-hmm. you know, like it bleeds into other parts of my life too. And, my attitude and, my relationships and that kind of stuff. And so, it's something that I know I need to be plugged in. And so, you know, again, we talk about discipline and, like creating those good habits and stuff. I think, you know, for me, that's one thing that I want to do well just for me. I want to have those schedules and rhythms in place just for me and my soul. But then I also know that, you know, that's probably good for my wife. That'll probably be good for my kids and stuff too. And so I want to just lead out in that as best I can. So
I just want to ask one more thing about that. Have y'all ever experienced moments in your life where you go, okay, we're not in a good place? You know, what are some flags, some ways, you know, we're really, our priorities are not in the right spot. Maybe our identity isn't where it should be. You know, how can we know when that happens? Because it is, you know, it is hard to know, you know, it's priorities, but so how can we sort of see that happening in our lives?
Well, I think, you know, what we talked about just a minute ago with, if you look at where you're spending your time and where you're spending your money,
mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good indicator of, you know, what's important to you in that
just
season.
Just take account.
Yeah. If you keep a budget or if you just look at your, you know, bank account or whatever, and you can see where you've been spending money. Or if you, you know, like most phones have, you know, screen time trackers and stuff now, and you can see, like, you can break down like by app what you're looking at on your phone and how much time you're spending and stuff like that. And so I know for me that some of that stuff's helpful because it's like, man, I spent how much time on Instagram or Facebook or whatever last week? Like I don't want to do that. You know, yeah. I don't want that to be part of like what I do on a regular basis. So then you can make adjustments. And I think that's, you know, again, we're talking about sports. It's like, I think that's sports. Like you do something and then you go back and look at the result and you're like, that's not what we wanted to do. What can we do to change that and kind of get back to being on schedule more and doing what we want. And so,
which is really a lot about discipline too.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, which is part of what is the gift of sports, but you also have to be disciplined about sports.
Yeah.
Sounds
yeah,
like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's just a lot of discipline yeah. all the way around. Discipline your kids, discipline. Yeah. No. Right. So anyway, but yeah, I think you just, you know, you gotta stay, you have to stay aware. You have to yeah. stay self-aware. And I think, you know, sometimes you go through a season and it's been a while and you're like, man, I just feel off and I don't know why. But then you look at, you know, how often have I been reading my Bible, praying, going to small group, going to church, all that kind of stuff. And it's like all of a sudden you start to take inventory and it's like, it has been a while, you know, and then you realize, oh, that's what this kind of lag is that I'm feeling. And so, and that's not to say like, you know, you say that kind of stuff. That's not to say that all of that is some magic pill that you take and all of a sudden your life's great and everything's going great and you're, you know, you're getting A's on all your tests and all you're getting your promotions at work. It's like, it doesn't work like that. It's just that you, when you feel more connected to God, and you know, he loves you no matter what, but when you're putting the time and the effort in, you feel more connected, there's a sense of, peace and security that kind of comes over you, that just allows you to face whatever it is you're in, just with a better attitude and with a better vigor and zest for life, I guess. Just because you're connected into the source, you know, of what you need for life. And so, when that happens, when that disconnect happens for me, I feel it. And sometimes I don't realize it right away, but once I do realize it, I try to, you know, yeah. make amends.
I agree with what you just said. I mean, to me, it's art and science. Mm-hmm. And to use the sports analogy of bowling, which I know very little
yes!
about.
Yes! So, I love bowling.
Yeah, so on bowling, that. Right, when kids go, or maybe some adults, you put the rails up. You put the rails. I don't know how you bowl.
Whoa, never
the
bumpers, mind.
I don't know how you bowl, Rachel, but you put the bumpers up, right? So for me, the scientific part of it is what you said. It's very, very straightforward. You know, where am I spending my money? You know, every time I get paid is the first thing I'm doing is to give to God what he's given to me. Mm-hmm. That's very, very straightforward, right? And is that a priority of mine? If I get off kilter and I wait till the end of the cycle, you know, from payment, well, it's very easy to just sweep that under the rug and then push it to the next week, right? So am I scientifically going, I know that when I get paid, I'm doing this. And then another bumper would be small group. Callie and I lead a small group. So it's a very distinct bumper. We have to prepare it right or the group goes nowhere. So if I'm leading that small group and doing my preparation, well, that's going to keep me in line a little bit. So those are two examples of very scientific methods. And then the art side of it is what you said, John. It's about feel. Mm-hmm. You know, am I centered? Do I have the plumb line, as the Bible would say? Is that plumb line straight up and down, or am I out of kilter? So that's the way I look at it. It's kind of two ways, but both of them, they're very indicative to me on where I am with my walk.
I think that's so great. So you have disciplines in your life mm-hmm. because we need them. And then you also have a relational aspect with God, which is relational, which you can't always exactly. put bumpers on, but mm-hmm. that is real mm-hmm. and that you feel and that you interact with all the time.
Yeah. And what John said, I feel the exact same way. So, you know, during the pandemic, I would say I've been off kilter because I haven't had that relational community, and Zoom just doesn't cut it. Just doesn't
no.
cut it.
It's not
right?
the same.
So that is not the same, and I can feel that, and I can see that I'm testy with Callie or with my kids or vice versa, and it's just not right. The order's not there. So, but typically when I get back in line with my finances, with my time, with those scientific bumpers, then the relational side of it tends to work its way out.
I want to ask you guys something else. You talked about how, or both of, one of you said 1% of people get you know, make
less
it
than
to,
1%. Less than
1%. Yeah. I'm like, 1%
of 1%. 1% of 1%.
1% of my family makes it. Do you guys have a sports hero? You know, those people who they made it and they're the very best. Do you guys have somebody like that? When you were little, did you? Do you now?
Oh, for sure. All the above. I mean, I think about when I was little. Let me try to think about. I think about Akeem Olajuwon. He's someone that comes to my mind because I grew up in Houston.
Yes, a Houston guy. That's so great.
He was just an awesome player. I think about, gosh, some of the Astros over the year. I could list a laundry. I have a laundry list of Astros that I could run down.
You know, Aaron always tells me that Houston winning just doesn't count.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Because Jordan wasn't playing.
Well, there you go.
Because he's not from Houston.
That's true. Like,
counted for me. I remember very distinctly.
That's true. But I think about Nolan Ryan or, you know, some of the great Houston sports figures, Warren Moon. Yeah. I mean, again, I watched all those guys and looked up to them a lot as a child. As an adult today, someone who's my age, Tom Brady is – now, I might get thrown off the podcast for saying that, or I don't know where the allegiances lie, but – I'm fascinated with Tom Brady. Now, I don't worship him by any stretch of the imagination, but his level of excellence is unmatched, and you cannot deny that. Nobody can. Now, you may not dislike Tom Brady for how he acts or how he looks or who he is or whatever, but the results that he has driven through his personal process are literally unmatched. I mean, he is literally the best player in the history of football based on wins, you know, Super Bowl wins and appearances and all these things. So he's an amazing role model for discipline. Now, I have no idea where he is spiritually. I've never even heard him talk about that. I'm just talking about his execution on the field. If you wanted to emulate somebody, I don't know how you could go wrong with that because, you know, he's even said, matter of fact, I've heard Bruce say this in one of his sermons, you have to commit your life to beating Tom Brady. That's what Tom himself said. Mm-hmm. If you want to beat me, you better commit your life to it. And if you hear interviews about him, he's talking about eating avocado ice cream and never drinking caffeine. And I mean, he is just to the nth degree a champion. And Michael Jordan was the same way, right? Now, I don't know about his eating habits and all of that, but his commitment to excellence on that court was second to none. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard to say anything negative about that. Again, not talking about their spiritual lives.
Right.
I'm strictly talking about their sports performances. So those are some examples.
Yeah, there's something about watching somebody be so good at something that is just like they always come through. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Michael Jordan, I don't know how many times we watched him. I was a kid in the 90s. Like how many times we watched him with his back against the wall and he hits the last shot, you know, like, or Tom Brady's like, all right, there's, you know, time's winding down, they're losing, they have to score, and he marches them down the field and they score. It's just like, it's just amazing to watch somebody be that good.
They're like superheroes.
Yeah, it really feels like that sometimes. And I think, again, that's one of the fun, the most fun things about sports is just like, it feels like an action movie playing out right in front of you a lot of times, just because it's like, I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm on the edge of my seat. Is this guy, is he gonna do it? You know, and then they do it sometimes and it's like, man, that's so cool.
Then they're a hero.
Yeah, it's so cool. So so some of those guys for me, I mean, like I mentioned the Lions, RIP a couple of times, but Barry Sanders was, I mean, he was my guy when I was a kid. There was watching him run basically with no offensive line for all of the 90s and be as good as he was incredible. So that was always fun. It was always one of those things that's like, the Lions are horrible. We know that they're horrible, but we have Barry Sanders, so we might win, you know, that
kind
of deal.
How about Bill Laimbeer?
Yeah, Bill Laimbeer. He was, yeah. Bad Boys was a little early for me. I don't remember a lot of Bad Boys era, but I was around for the, it was 2004 when the Pistons won the finals. That was a fun year with Ben Wallace and
Chauncey Billups
and Rip Hamilton, all those guys. That was really fun. One guy that I like a lot now, that I look up to, partially because we went to college together. I don't know him personally, but Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. So he plays now for the Minnesota Vikings. Yep. So sorry to all the Case Keenum fans out there. I know he took his job, but he's a solid dude. He's a Christian. He came and spoke. I was part of campus ministry at Michigan State. He came and spoke there several times. Just a really, really solid guy, very admirable in just the way he carries himself. His priorities, a lot of the stuff we're talking about now is just like, he's very on top of it. Now I say all this, you ask like somebody who's great at what they do. I mean, he plays in the NFL. He's very good at football. He is having a bad year so far. Mm-hmm. So don't take all that to say, and then go watch him and, you know, he throws three interceptions next week or something. But, he's an awesome guy and I love just following him and his career and watching him play football and, all that stuff is just really cool. So,
you know, I think it's really just interesting to hear both of you guys talk about just who the hero athletes are and who you look up to, because whether you're talking about the greats, you know, like who like Tom Brady or Michael Jordan, because there's something about them, you know, you do want to be like them in some way and you can learn so much from them, or someone whose character is just, you know, you just look up to them because of who they are. Mm-hmm. I think it all just leads us back to the story. You know, we're looking at heroes, the people who are really doing everything they can, who are really becoming all they can be, and then, you know, saving the day and all those things. I think sports can show us really the biblical story in a different way. And I think it's why we're drawn to these people who, you know, really dedicate their lives to mm-hmm. something, and who sacrifice for something, and who show character in the midst of something, because it really can take you back to who Jesus is.
That's exactly right.
You know, I mean, that's what it sounds like when you guys are talking about it, and mm-hmm. that's what it makes me think of.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good analogy. I mean, it sums it up well. And let's not forget, it's fun.
And it's fun.
It's a lot of fun. Again, it's cultural. It brings families together and people together. So it does have all the attributes that you described there, and it's also a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say a lot, sports feels like this microwave for life, you know? Mm-hmm. Like there's all these situations and scenarios that play out in real time, like super fast in sports, that a lot of times apply to other areas of your life. And so, you know, we've talked about overcoming adversity. What happens when, you know, we come in with this plan of how we're going to do things and it doesn't go that way? How do we adapt and adjust, preparation, strategy, all that kind of stuff? And then, yeah, dealing with success, dealing with failure, like all that kind of stuff. And it's like you're watching that happen in a couple hour block, all of that,
yeah.
You know, in a couple hour block. And so there's really like low hanging fruit in a teaching way where you can say, hey, like, look at the way that Tom Brady prepares. Man, what would it look like if you prepared like that in your, you know, whatever, in your schoolwork, in your walk with Christ, in your small group, you know, like that kind of stuff. And so mm-hmm. I just think there's these incredible moments, incredible opportunity with sports where you get to see this microwaved quick version of this big concept that happens in life. And you can use that to kind of talk to your kids or to your friends or whatever it is. And it's a cool tool to have in your tool bag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I actually, to go back to the parenting and the kids side of it, I had a coach I was probably 13 or 14, a guy named Brian Willingham, who is still, I consider a mentor to this day, but he gave us this plaque at the end of one of our seasons. And it was, I believe it was Teddy Roosevelt, and you guys can fact check me on that, but it talks about being in the arena. And it talks, you've seen that quote before, right?
Yes, and such a good quote.
Yeah, I remember him giving that to us, and he was a very successful businessman and great father and husband and all the above. But, I mean, the gist of the quote is get into the arena, and even though mm-hmm. your face has dust and sweat and blood,
people
and
throw stuff at you.
Whatever it may be, you at least know what it means to win or lose. And you're in the arena. So I think that right there is what sports is all about. It's not necessarily about the wins and losses. Those are going to come and go in every season and every year. You crown a champion, you move on, and everybody's back at it. But it's about learning how to deal with the adversity that comes with the arena that really makes you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it's a great quote. And something I remember, that's another thing about sports. I literally can remember you know, games, like we're talking about the Astros and the Rockets and even the Oilers. I can remember games. I can remember coaches down to the little league level. I mean, it's unbelievable the
right.
impact that people that are coaching and teaching kids through sports have on their lives.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys about that because I think that part of the fun And part of the beauty of sports is just the relationships, whether it is a mentor or a coach or just best friends that come from these sports. So tell me the most impactful relationship that either of you has gained from a sport, whether it's like, hey, we watch this together because we're fans, or this is my teammate, or this is my coach, or whatever it is.
Yeah, for me, it would literally be impossible to narrow that down to one. I couldn't do it because it would do a disservice to the
others. Because there's so many.
Yeah, and that's not a political statement, meaning I like this person over the other. It's just saying the impact that the sports has had on me from a relational perspective is through the roof, and it's allowed me to also share my faith at times. I'll give you a quick story. I remember when we were at A&M, we were flying to Manhattan, Kansas to play Kansas State, and we were on a charter plane, and it was small. And we were leaving Kansas and flying back to College Station, and it was pouring down rain. It was a terrible storm, and we were all nervous. And I remember saying, hey, guys, you better know where you stand before you get on this plane. And I was sort of joking, but I sort of wasn't. And I have a teammate of mine named Chad Hudson, who we're still very close friends to this day. He remembers that 20-plus years later because it made him think about his faith. It was just a simple statement, right? But it's things like that when you go through sports. You have these little moments in time where you can share yourself personally, and you can really get to know people that is a dramatic impact. And I could give you a list of 10 coaches that have had huge impacts on me. So I can't narrow it down to one. I will say this. I literally have relationships all over this earth, literally all over this earth, from people that I played sports with or who coached me, and you just cannot put a price tag on that. So,
yeah, for me, there's same thing. Like, I have a lot of friends and things that have come out of my relationship with sports, but there's one guy in particular who I used to work with. I worked as a rail car mechanic for a short amount of time.
That's
when
fun.
I have lived in Texas, yes. So I worked in the plants, and there was a guy that he came in after I'd been there for a little while. And so I was kind of, you know, I was new to the whole thing. If you know me, a rail car mechanic is not like, you would not expect that out of me, you know? So I had kind of learned the ropes a little bit, and he came in, he was brand new, and the rest of the guys kind of gave him a hard time, you know, or giving him the business about, you know, just being new and not knowing stuff or whatever. And so, I just remember we kind of bonded over this love for sports. He's a Green Bay Packers fan, so that was a tough pill to swallow, but,
Unity.
Yeah, yeah, but
and
you know,
diversity
we
in sports.
Yeah, so I overcame adversity. No, I'm just kidding. But so I, you know, I just was like, this is something we have that we can talk about, and like, you know, he wasn't a real talkative guy about a lot of other things, but man, if you brought up sports stuff, you could really, really get him to open up about stuff. And so we would just sit and, you know, on our lunch breaks and talk about games and, you know, who won and who's looking good and whatever and all that kind of stuff. And then, we just stayed friends. And so I ended up, you know, leaving that job and came to work at the church and have been here for a while now. And he and I just stayed friends and kept, you know, just like playing fantasy football together and watching games together every now and then and that kind of stuff. And it created this this point of connection when we really had no other things that would have, you know, kind of held our friendship together. As we continued to be friends, we just, you know, got into deeper and deeper stuff and was able to have some conversations with him. He'd grown up in a little bit of a church background and stuff. And so he was familiar with stuff, but I think he had kind of, maybe hadn't been, participating in the church thing all that much when I met him. And he was living in Texas by himself. He had come down here by himself with no family or anything like that. And so, long story short, he eventually met a girl. They got married. My wife and I got to be a part of their wedding, which was really cool. And then since then, they've started coming to church here at Clear Creek. They've been attending Eager Bay for the last couple of years, and they just recently were in our small group, our last small group we were in.
Wow, that's amazing.
His wife just got baptized. So it's like, you know, I'm not saying that's what happens when when you like sports.
Get better.
But it's been, man, it has been so cool just to watch them and watch their journey through all of this. And it honestly started because he and I are both probably way bigger NFL fans than we should be.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Great story.
Let me ask you guys, because I think this is perfect. I mean, we're in the middle of this series on Acts. We're learning how to be missionaries right now. Mm-hmm. And so you guys are talking about your love for sports and the opportunities that gives, but it's also, I'm hearing you really talk about that. That's also just part of who you are, though, when you're in these places with people. So if you guys could just give me some advice, just what would you say to people who are out there in the sports world, whether it's an 18-year-old who's a baseball player or it's a parent who is, you know, at the soccer field every Saturday, what advice can you give them about what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus out there? You know, how can they best represent Jesus and really be a missionary?
Yeah, I would say just be who you are, where you are. And you're in this season of your life where you have children's sports for the parents out there. Be that light when you're there on Saturday or Sunday morning. Do not be afraid to speak about spiritual things once you earn that through the relational aspect of sports. And again, really just be on mission wherever you are. I mean, I think it's that simple. And I don't think that ever changes regardless of what season you're in life. I think you're going to be put in certain situations that afford you the opportunity to share the gospel, and sports is no different from that. So I would just say, as long as, you know, your faith is part of your daily life, then let that light shine wherever you may be. And in this case, it might be on a soccer field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I would echo the same thing. And maybe speaking more to like the kid who's the participant right now, the high school sports or whatever it is, you know, you don't have to be, you know, that guy that's like in the locker room, like, hey man, like, let's talk about Jesus, you know, or like rounding first base, like, hey, can I, you know, how can I pray for you?
Do you know Jesus?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like that. But, you know, you have this unique opportunity to just build relationships with people. And a lot of times people that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise. And because that's, again, one of the beautiful mm-hmm. things about sports is it brings people together from all different walks of life. And so, yeah.
Johnson Aggie, I'm a Longhorn, and look at us.
And
Michigan
I'm a Spartan.
State. Sparty.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
At least we're both from Texas.
Spartans. Right, yeah. But yeah, I think, you know, you just have opportunities in front of you to build relationships. And then I think also just to keep in mind that if you play sports, you always have eyes on you. And so there's a kid sitting in the stands. Maybe you're playing, you know, Pony League baseball or whatever it is. But there's some kid that's younger than you that's sitting there with his parents, and he's watching, and he's seeing how you carry yourself on the field and how you react when you strike out or you miss the penalty kick or whatever it is. And he's watching what you do when you win and how you celebrate, you know, and that kind of stuff. And so I think just remember that there are people watching, and they're taking notice of what you do and how you do it. And you're going to influence them and what they do and how they do it later on. And so that's not to say, you know, I don't want to put extra pressure on you or anything like that, but just to remember that you, everywhere you go, whether it's sports or in your job or at school or whatever it is, there are always going to be people who are observing you and what you're doing. And even just doing little things, that small ways that you can represent Christ. And it doesn't have to be, you know, preaching the gospel or, you know, carrying your Bible around, but just the way you act and carry yourself and, you know, compete and all that stuff, it speaks volumes about who you are and what you're about. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just keep that in mind as you're doing what you do, that there are people watching.
Probably goes for parents too. Think yeah, exactly yes. Everything you said.
yeah. Don't curse out the ref at the game. Like, because
just gonna throw that out
watching.
There.
Yeah.
It goes for parents more than for the participants.
Right. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much. This was really fun conversation, and I'm thankful for y'all, your wisdom and your love for sports, because it's a good gift from God. It is so good. And just the opportunities that you guys see in sports too. I'm thankful for that as your sister in Christ. So thanks for coming today.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel. It's awesome. Thanks, John. Yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Who's listening? Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. You can go to clearcreekresources.org where we'll post this podcast, and you can also find articles, stories, music, and more. Again, I'm Rachel Chester. Thank you so much for listening.